Okay, we're recording. So, yes, now we're good.
Okay, thanks. And I'm just double checking. We do not have a public hearing tonight, right?
Correct.
Okay. Welcome everybody to Planning Commission for April 13th, 2021. It's great to be with you all. Let's start with the proclamation relating to COVID-19. Whereas the Planning Commission Chair has determined that conducting public meetings of the Planning Commission with an anchor location where the public could attend in person presents a substantial risk to the health and safety of those who may be present at that location based upon the current COVID-19 pandemic and the limited staff support to properly ensure physical distancing and sufficient disinfection for attendees and staff. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Planning Commission shall hold meetings for the month of April 2021 by electronic means only and will not include an anchor location where the public could attend in person. One little note about that, I think we should chat at the end of the meeting today about when we feel like we want to come back together in person. So be thinking about that. Before we jump into the agenda, we'll start with a Pledge of Allegiance, and Commissioner Larson has offered to lead us in that pledge. Commissioner?
Please stand and join me with the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks, Commissioner. Okay, great. So our before our regular named agenda items, we'll start with general public comments. If you have a comment, if you would just unmute yourself, state your name, and share your comment or question. And if you are having any trouble with your microphone, you can let us know by putting something in the chat. Okay, hearing no public comments, we'll move on to our first item, which is the consideration of site plan approval for Wasatch Container Addition at 645 North, 400 West, with Travis Davis as the applicant, and Mackenzie is going to introduce this item. Mackenzie?
Thanks, Ted. Okay, so Wasatch Container is currently located at 645 North, 400 West, which you see here on the map. They have previously obtained the lot to the south of them that has four buildings on it to be demolished. And they are going to do an addition to the larger building on their existing lot. Thank you, Sherry. To just expand their operations. They haven't combined the lots yet, but they will before any permits are issued. This is just the site plan process. Once the lots are combined, they will be working with 5.09 acres. And the existing Wasatch Container building is approximately 32,600 square feet. And with the addition, the total building footprint will be approximately 108,685 square feet. So the applicant plans to provide 90 parking stalls, 5 ADA compliant stalls, and 8 bicycle spaces. According to city code, they are required to have a total of 138 parking stalls, and that makes them short 48. But code 10-6-5J provides the Planning Commission, upon advice from the Community Development Director, to determine a minimum required off-street parking that is separate from what the standard code requires. So DRC discussed it, and we all feel that what they have provided will be sufficient, and we do not see any problems with the amount of parking, even though it doesn't meet code. So we are advising you guys to approve it, even though it's short the 48. So the next thing, they are compliant with landscaping requirements at 10.54%, and then all of the building massing, architectural materials, everything like that also meets code, including the vertical, articulation, horizontal, and the variations. So at this point, the DRC recommends approval of the site plan with two conditions. The first one is to relocate the southernmost driveway a minimum of 8 feet from the property line per code. Sherry, we'll go back to the site plan so I can just kind of show what that looks like for them. I made sure to keep my red line on there. That's our last red line. The only other thing that we ask is that they provide the city a letter of approval or flood control permit, either would work, from Davis County Public Works regarding their culvert design, because that is not technically our jurisdiction or property, and our engineer wants to make sure that they are doing what they need to. So that is it, and I am here for questions, and I believe the applicant is on as well.
And that ditch that they have to culvert is along the rear west property line. It's a stormwater drainage ditch that it's been culverted in other places, so there shouldn't be any problem. We just need to make sure they have approved it.
Thanks, Sherry.
Okay, thanks, Mackenzie. Are there just initial clarifying questions for staff before we hear from the applicant? Okay, we can come back to that as needed. And I'm sorry, so let's turn to our applicant and what did I do? Mr. Davis.
You bet. My name's Gary Tyler. Can you hear me?
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Tyler. Go ahead. Anything that you have that you'd like to add? We can hear you. Can you hear us?
Okay, that's a thought.
Now we cannot hear you.
Okay, he's frozen. Oh,
there we go.
There you go.
You're intermittent.
Okay, how's that? Is that any better?
Yeah, and if it's helpful, when you cut out, I'll put a thumbs down just so you know that you're cutting out. Okay.
Okay, I appreciate that. Sorry for that. So again, Gary Tyler with Hughes General Contractors representing Wasatch Container. And so, yeah, Mackenzie did very good job explaining everything. I don't really have a whole lot to add to that. We don't have any concerns or problems with moving that drive approach, and we are working with getting the approval officially. We've already had contact concerning the ditch, but yeah, we definitely want to follow their recommendations and make sure that we have their approval as well. But yeah, everything else seems to be pretty straightforward. Just another successful business in North Salt Lake looking to expand.
Yeah, and we appreciate that. We love seeing businesses wanting to invest and expand in the city. So that's great. Are there questions for applicant or staff?
Not for me. Seems relatively straightforward.
Thanks, Commissioner.
The only thing for me is just curiosity. Are the colors, this color scheme that we see here, is that pretty accurate to what you'll be doing?
It is. It's very similar to what is existing, because the front of the existing building will remain. And It's our desire to match the front facade so that it doesn't stand out too much. It's going to be a little bit bigger. But the color scheme will remain the earth tones.
It looks really nice, really cohesive with that other building. Thanks.
Yep, that was on purpose.
I have a question as well. I like the colors as well. I like the landscaping. Thank you for doing that. I have a question about traffic. Is this expansion going to change the coming and the going of especially large vehicles? There we go, thank you.
It will not. They're hoping to continue to grow the business, and hopefully there will be a little, you know, a few more trucks here and there. But overall, their employees currently are remaining the same. They hope now that they are adding on to the building, they'll have a little bit more capacity. But yeah, all the shipping and receiving will pretty much
remain
the same. Yeah, it, sure.
My understanding is that the business is installing a lot of automated equipment that makes the boxes and things that they do, so that that actually will require less employees than the operation right now. As far as, so as in the expansion, they can keep all of the same employees. That's why they're not having to increase, because what they are adding to the plant is actually increasing efficiency.
Thank you. That is absolutely correct. Yeah, they're spending multi-million dollars on equipment, but they hopefully will not be losing staff. They'll just make them more efficient. So that's the other reason why, even though it's a larger building, they don't anticipate a lot of additional employees. And it's not a customer-based building that customers come in to buy something. It's manufacturing, so.
Thank you. I think it looks great.
Thanks.
We can certainly explore whatever needs to be explored. If a commissioner has a motion ready, that you're welcome to proceed with that.
I just wanted to check, is everyone fine with the parking? Does anyone have a concern about that? I am fine with it also. I just wanted to make sure we discuss that.
I was looking for just an explanation behind it. I didn't have a problem with it, but just looking for the explanation. And then hearing the automation, I'm presuming that that is the primary rationale, that the warehousing piece of the parking, that the demands are much lower. And so I don't know if staff or applicant would like to comment on that.
I can just add, if you refer back to the staff report, I did, right underneath where I state where there is that code that allows us to go away from what is standard, the applicant actually wrote a letter regarding the amount of employees they plan to have and continue to have through the growth process. And it also mentions the autonomous mechanics of it all, where it'll be less hands-on, more mechanical robot type stuff. So to say it really official-like, but that was kind of my thoughts on backing up what our decision was.
Yeah, and I hope that the applicant understands that part of the questions are also to understand how our regulations perform, you know, because we're always keeping an eye on how should we change them. And so can I just ask, of the 37, it sounds like you'll have 37 employees. Is that correct?
Yes.
After?
Right.
How many of those work in the office versus work in the warehousing area?
A lot of them are working from home still, because they're involved in sales, and obviously a lot of their business is, you know, out of town. So, I mean, they've got 15 in the warehouse and probably 7 in the offices right now, but they have a total of about 30 some odd employees, but Not you know, maybe 2/3 are even at the building. And we are actually providing more parking than they have current. So we've added parking to the facility, which in their opinion, you know, they'd rather not, but we convinced them that you ought to at least add as much as you possibly can, which they feel is more than they would ever need.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks. Good question though.
And I would just kind of add on the parking. One of the challenges is we're permitting a building, not a use. When we regulate the building, this, in a year, this building could be sold to another company that wants to utilize all 19,000 square feet as office space. And then, but having said that, I'm not sure if one stall per 250 square feet for this building is still seems a little high. So I'm okay with the number, but I am kind of aware that, you know, we would want to avoid a future use that would need more parking.
I think one of the problems with our parking code, specifically with the manufacturing uses, is that I think the numbers were written and come up with so long ago that the formulations just don't make sense because of the automation that has happened in manufacturing industry as a whole, that they can take up much more space with fewer employees. And in the end, you know, earlier we had to have more employees to do all of these things. And so the ratio was probably closer to correct than it is today. And I think that's probably something that we should have a traffic study look at, or have a traffic engineer tell us what kind of parking is really happening in these kinds of businesses.
Parking is on our big list. Yeah, okay. All right, any other questions or things to explore, or we could do a motion?
I'm ready to make a motion unless there are other comments that want to be added. Okay.
Go ahead, Commissioner.
I move that the Planning Commission approve the site plan for the Wasatch Container Addition located at 645 North, 400 West, with the following conditions, with the conditions outlined in staff report.
Thanks, Commissioner. Is there a second?
I second. This is Commissioner Jorgensen.
Thanks, Commissioner. Any comments on the motion? Okay, so hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing no opposition, so that carries unanimously. So thanks to you and your team, and good luck. That's a great investment in North Salt Lake. Best of luck to you.
It is. Well, thank you. Appreciate everyone, and appreciate Sherry and Mackenzie. You got good staff there backing you up.
Thanks a lot. We sure do.
Okay. Bye.
All right. So our next item is, how do I do this? I misplaced my agenda, but I think it's the Cypress Credit Union one, right? So our next item is the,
you're correct.
Yes.
Is the site plan for Cypress Credit Union, 450 East, 1100 North. And Mackenzie, back to you.
All right. So on 1100 North, where the existing Village Inn is, Cypress Credit Union has obtained the property and they plan to demolish the existing building to then construct a new branch of Cypress Credit Union. In the commercial shopping zone, which they are located, credit unions and banks are a permitted use, so there's no concerns there. So the proposed building will be approximately 4,000 square feet in size. And in addition to demolishing and reconstructing the building, there will also be improvements made to ADA accessibility, parking lot ease of movement, and landscaping. Along the northern edge of the property, right there where Sherry's got her mouse, they're planning to install a ADA compliant ramp to get people from the sidewalk on 1100 North into this credit union. And that is something that's severely lacking in that area. So we are in high support of it, but we are asking that the applicant get UDOT's approval and submit us proof of that prior to constructing anything, just because part of it is in UDOT's right of way. So as far as parking lot ease of movement goes, they are adding parking islands and also putting landscaping and just basically beautifying the whole entire lot through that. So the property shares driveway access with the surrounding businesses, and they have proactively been approaching their neighbors and making sure there's no negative implications that might be caused. They may access the, or I guess anyone may access the credit union from 500 East or 400 East. And then this one says that code requires 1 parking stall per 250 square feet of floor area and 4 stacking spaces per drive-up window. So with their square footage, they're required to have 17 parking stalls, and they have provided 35, 2 of which are ADA compliant. So they are very well off on that side of things. And then if you notice towards the south end of the lot, they have drive-through areas for ATMs and all that fun stuff. I did measure it, and you can fit 4 vehicles there for stacking. So they are compliant with that as well. They exceed the minimum landscaping requirement of 10% at 16.63. And then Sherry, can you go to their architectural, please? Thank you. As far as massing and materials, they are compliant with all code, and we are highly supportive of this. I think it looks awesome. I should be subjective, but I like it a lot. So to round this out, the DRC recommends approval of this site plan with 3 conditions. The first is to obtain approval from UDOT to construct the sidewalk and retaining walls within the right-of-way. Provide a letter prior to final occupancy from a licensed surveyor certifying that the storm drain system has been constructed to the design elevations and that the overall system will operate as designed. And then any other engineering red lines, if there are some, Paul, the engineer, hasn't quite wrapped that review up. So that is to be determined, but he felt confident that if there is anything, it'll be very, very small, because we've already gone back and forth on this a few times and we all feel very confident with it. So with that, I'll turn the time back to you guys.
Thanks, Mackenzie. And I didn't catch, I forgive me, if the applicant is here and what that person's name is.
I am here, and my name's Buddy Bennett. Thanks for having us tonight.
Okay, great. Thanks, Mr. Bennett. Is there anything you'd like to add to what Ms. Bennett presented?
No, I think we're just ultimately excited to be part of the community. You know, we've been here in the state since 1928. We're the oldest credit union in the state, and just excited to be able to serve more members and benefit the community. So appreciate being able to partner and work together on this project. So thank you.
Right on. And you know, when I hear Cypress Credit Union, your little jingle goes through my brain. Hello. Which I'm not going to inflict that on people, but
great news for us.
Yeah. And Sherry and Mackenzie, I think we're getting some feedback from one of the people on the line. So hopefully you're.
I think I took care of it. So okay, just an FYI, if I mute any of you, I promise I'm not trying to be mean, but keep it so we can hear.
Thanks, Mackenzie. Questions for staff or applicant or a motion?
So this is Commissioner Jorgensen. I appreciate Mr. Bennett being with us, and either Mackenzie or Mr. Bennett could answer this question. I was just curious to make sure I understood the, I appreciate the coordination that occurred with the adjacent property owners. That's got some restaurants, it's a taco time, there's a drive up that comes around the building. The thing that I was wondering about is, were there be any changes in the circulation pattern, or will both of those access points continue to be two-way? Is it just like it is now?
This is Buddy. I was just going to say that, as we've worked with them, it should stay the way that it is now. So as we've talked with them and worked with them, there's a few things that we're going to have to work together on. And that's a dumpster enclosure, but I think we've got that pretty much put to bed. But everything else should flow the way that it is today.
So they will access the drive up by coming through your parking lot and then back to the order window and so forth. Is that right?
Oh, yes, that's correct.
And then just one other question, just again, there's the piece of the property on the north end that's kind of a little peninsula that goes into the parking lot. Does that all just maintain the current parking and so forth that's there?
Sorry, when you were saying that north peninsula, you cut out there for me for just a second. Will you repeat that question?
Yeah, sorry about that. So the property's got kind of roughly a C shape. And on the north side, there's the piece up on the upper right corner. I'm just curious, would anything change versus the current parking that's there?
Hey, Sherry, before you answer that, buddy, can you go back up to the aerial view so we can kind of see what Ron's talking about, please?
And he's talking about the north part of the lot, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they're on the edge of the parking lot. There's some parallel slots and all that. I guess I was interpreting that everything remains the same on that portion of the lot.
And I believe Michelle's on too, but as of today, that is the case, and that's the plan.
Yeah, I'm the architect that's working on this with Buddy and Cypress, that we're not making any changes to that portion of the parking lot. And that was approved recently.
So there's a shared parking agreement and cross easement that's recorded on this parcels, on all of these parcels, between this parcel where the Taco Time is and then this parcel and also the hotel to the south.
Okay, so we're not expecting any fundamental changes, and that the location of the dumpster and all that's not going to present an impediment to that drive-through. Is that safe to say? Am I getting this correct?
It should be better. It should improve the access to the dumpster, and it shouldn't interfere in the drive-through.
Thank you.
Other questions? If no other questions, entertain a motion.
I will make a motion. This is Commissioner Van Langeveld. I move that the Planning Commission approve the site plan for Cypress Credit Union located at 450 East, 1100 North with the following conditions. One, obtain approval from UDOT to construct a sidewalk and retaining wall within their right of way. Two, provide a letter prior to final occupancy from a licensed surveyor certifying that the storm drain system has been constructed to the design elevations and that the overall system will operate as designed. And three, any engineering red lines.
Thanks, Commissioner. Is there a second?
I'll second it. This is Commissioner Ward.
Thanks, Commissioner. Any comments on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none. So that motion carries unanimously. That's great. So thanks, Buddy. And I'm sorry, I didn't note the architect's name, but nice job. That's a very attractive building. It's a great site. So best of luck to you. I think that's going to be a great addition to the city.
Thank you, guys. We're looking forward to it.
Okay, so our next item, please let me know if I got the order wrong, is the conditional use permit for R&R Machine Service, 450 West, 100 North. And Mackenzie is doing a lot of heavy lifting here tonight. So Mackenzie, I think this is your item as well.
Sure is. This one will be easy. Okay, so R&R Machine Service is a industrial machine and mechanical repair shop for the oil and gas industry. They have been operating in North Salt Lake for over a decade. They were at 625 North, 400 West, and they have moved to 450 West, 100 North, which we see on the slideshow right here. They are located within the manufacturing distribution zone where commercial and industrial machinery and equipment repair is a conditional use. So the existing building is approximately 29,000 square feet in size, and it's all dedicated to the single business. Of that square footage, 2,500 will be used for general office, and the remainder will be used for machine repair. So we don't have an actual specific code for industrial machinery repair, so we put it under manufacturing, processing, or assembly just to kind of give an idea of what it could be. It was the closest we can find for that type of use. So if we assume that, the business is required to have 65 total parking stalls. They have provided 50. And so they are short, and we are going to run into the same thing we did earlier in the evening, where section 10-6-5 allows the Planning Commission, upon advice of the Community Development Director, to determine a minimum required parking. The business only employs 32 people and will have a maximum of 20 people on site during the highest shift. And once again, the DRC did discuss this on Monday, and we could not think of any potential impacts it could have negatively. And then from there, that's pretty much it. So the DRC is recommending approval with no conditions.
Okay, thanks, Mackenzie. Is there an applicant that wishes to add anything to the staff report?
This is Derek, if you guys can hear me.
Yeah, we can hear you. And if, give us your last name, if you would.
Bockel, V as in Victor, O-C-K-E-L.
Okay, thanks. Anything that you'd like to add? And if not, we may ask any questions that we need to explore.
One question that I do have. So in the picture that Mackenzie has up here, shows the yellow line. Our property, so I go back a long, long ways on this property. My dad actually bought the property from the original owner as Energy Machine Service. And, you know, through evolution, here I am back in that building. And I actually, even though we're doing business as R&R Machine Service there, I own the building. It's VRM Properties, who's actually the building and property owner. Right. So I'm running a business there again, doing oil and gas, supporting these refineries, trying to keep them from blowing black smoke all up in the air. And I've always wondered, I've heard that this is two addresses, right? Two physical addresses.
So are you talking about the lot adjacent to it?
Yeah, I apologize. I didn't point that out.
They may be, I don't have it pulled up on Google Earth right now, but they may be separate parcels. Sherry, do you have Google Earth pulled up right now? You're muted.
So does the yellow line represent, what does the yellow line around the picture represent?
Don't pay too much attention to that. That is okay. Just the assumed parcel.
Okay.
From the address you provided me. There is okay. A good chance that the other parcel on the side of it to the I guess that's a west. There's a good chance that is also yours. Is that, yep, it is. So technically you guys, I just circled it wrong. It's those two properties.
So does that, I mean, so when you talk about parking spaces, and we just did all the asphalt work on this place here not too long ago.
Yeah, it looks really good. Sherry, will you up the
change
the satellite view so everyone can see how good it looks?
So we clearly improved it quite a bit from when the previous owner had it, and the tenant that he had just kind of, they didn't have anybody that worked there. I mean, ITT Industries didn't have any more than maybe five people there at the most for many, many years. So we went in obviously and redid all the asphalt and everything. And we're trying to, that back building that's kind of got a rusty looking roof on it. And we're trying to improve the as much as we can to make it a lot better looking for sure. And then, you know, functional for us. And I look to be there for a long, long time. So, you know, the more I know about it, the better, you know. So if we can investigate that being two pieces there, number one, how does that affect the parking, I guess, is one question I would have, because you're really cutting down what's really there, right? Or does that make sense? You go off a square footage of the property or the building?
Yeah, the parking is related to the use in the building and the size of the building itself. It doesn't really have anything to do with the lot size. Only thing as far as the lot size goes is can you fit all the parking that the building requires on the lot? So clearly you have overflow with your with that area. Now it's under one tax parcel. So probably in the legal description, it's described in two different meets and bounds description.
Okay.
But they're combined as far as for taxing purposes and as far as for zoning purposes in our mind as one parcel.
Okay. One of my business partners that's on the VRM properties, he's my accountant too. So he's Tyler McNeil. He's helping, you know, obviously make sure our taxes are taken care of and whatnot.
And we can, and you know, if you want it to be in one parcel, we can give you some advice on how to do that.
Okay. I mean, I'm kind of taking this off camber a little bit, and the fact that, I mean, clearly I've owned the building for a short amount of time. I want to own it for a long time. There's property there, right? And what we're utilizing as our machine shop is working great. But we've got this piece over here to the west that's obviously just dirt and lay down equipment. All that equipment's going to leave. And I'm looking at my future, may want to put a building that backs this building up to the west and not necessarily make it. And again, you can shut me down if you need to, because I'm asking questions that don't really have anything to do with my CUP. I appreciate you guys saying, yep, go ahead, keep doing what you're doing.
Derek,
I have no questions. I have no add there. So
your commentary is always welcome. I will tell you right now, though, that I will be happy to meet with you and we can really get into it of what you can potentially do with this lot and what needs to be done. Okay. And yeah, I'd be more than happy to dive into that with you. So okay. we can do that offline if you'd like, or if you want to ask specific question of the commissioners, you are
nope. I mean, it sounds like to me that, I mean, that answered my question, which is an answer I already knew, that it was only being taxed one time.
Yeah.
It wasn't like we were paying two different taxes on it.
And I apologize if that caused any confusion. I just, unless someone tells me that they own the lot next to him, I don't think to look to see who owns the neighbor's lot, you know.
Okay. Understand.
So
understand. You know, one thing that we did talk about when we were talking about a parking originally was the area to the west that's black. There's a truck parked right there in the overhead view right there. Yep. So that right now we just put regrind down just to make sure that wasn't just a big ugly weed patch. So for not, I mean, you could definitely asphalt over, you know, and get more parking, you know. It's going to be a long time before I'm going to agree to sell it. So, I mean, I want to have it for a long time. So I can see potential, you know, if somebody else moved in there, like you were talking to the previous Cypress Credit Union, whatever that was. You know, you've got this, but if you move, you know, it grows that much, or maybe it was the guy before that, Wasatch Container, that bought my old building. They're taking my building out. Raises another question. Do you guys want to buy that building? I understand you may have had interest in it. Talking to old Frisch. No comments.
Yeah, that's probably a good thing to I don't know, Sherry or Mackenzie, if you want to say anything about that, but it's probably a good thing to just explore offline.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, I don't know anything about that. If somebody was interested, I would suspect it's Public Works. They've been looking for parcels around 10 acres inside.
Yeah. Yeah.
New Public Works facilities. If we,
I can tell you, if it ended up working out good for you, that's a good building. That's a nice building.
Mr. Vogel, one question about parking. This is really to just understand, to gather data. So you're noting that 32 people will work there. Do you know what the split is between how many work in an office setting versus how many work in the machining service, manufacturing kind of space? What's
eight of us in the lower office, makeup, management, clerical, and then we have two sales guys. So you could call those office guys. So eight, and the remainder are field service, mechanics, machinists, welders, the guys that work for us.
Perfect. That's helpful. Thank you. And Sherry and Mackenzie, I'm not good at collecting this data, but I think that maybe getting these kinds of breakdowns as we make these approvals just gives us data points that we can point back to when we come around to looking at parking again.
So I think before we end this meeting tonight, I would actually like to bring that up with the commissioners and see what I can do or what I can include in these types of situations, because these are, I mean, we had two of them in 1 week and it's my first time dealing with it. So I want to make sure I give you what we need. So if you guys can think about that, and at the end of this, after Sherry does her agenda item, we can maybe discuss it.
Okay. Any other comments or questions that we should discuss?
And I appreciate letting me go off tangent a little bit, and I look forward to talking to Mackenzie and looking at future. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, you bet. And if the commission doesn't have anything to that you want to discuss, we can do a motion.
This is Commissioner Jorgensen. I'm prepared to make a motion.
Thanks, Commissioner.
I move that the Planning Commission approve the conditional use permit for R&R Machine Services located at 450 West, 100 North with no conditions.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second.
From Commissioner Larson, all in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing no nays, then that carries unanimously. So Mr. Vocal, good luck to you.
All right. I appreciate it and look forward to working with you guys in the future.
Absolutely.
Derek, I'll call you tomorrow. Thank you.
Sounds good.
Right. Bye. All right, cool. I did actually find my agenda. Our next item is the consideration of a site plan amendment approval for Love Carpet Cleaning, 580 North Main Street. Greg Love is the applicant. And Sherry, you get a turn tonight.
Yes, I do. So if you will remember this from back in November, we did a site plan approval for this new building on this lot that Mr. Love is proposing. And this is the proposed elevation that he submitted back in November that he was interested in building. And then he submitted, when he came in for his building permit, submitted this drawing, which is different than the first drawing that was approved by the Planning Commission. And this drawing does not meet the minimum standards for the design guidelines for the building. And so we talked to Mr. Love and explained to him that the Planning Commission is the one that approves the site plan, and that includes the elevation. And so if he wanted to amend that, he would have to come back to the Planning Commission. So there are things that he could do to this building to make it comply with the standard. But one of the options that I gave you, and I want you just to understand that it was a total option. I was just saying, hey, here's another way that you can meet our code. I didn't know if it was less expensive or more expensive, but there's a lot of cost in the steel. And if you look at the previous approved drawing, just lifting this section of the building up is quite a bit more expensive. But the difference between this building and this is like 8 feet here, and then it's only 2 feet here. So it doesn't.
What is 8 feet versus 2 feet? What are you noting?
This section right here. So the change in the roof line was 8 feet before, and this one is 2. And then they have these long runs that are over 60 feet that don't meet the standard. Yeah. So this one met the standard. This part was still over 60 feet, which is why these cupolas were on the building too. And so from that drawing to the one that was submitted for the permit, they've taken the cupolas off and lowered that section of the building. So I was trying to offer an additional outlet in case it was less expensive. I talked to Mr. Love before the meeting, and apparently it's more expensive, but this is one of the other options that our code, along with the cupolas, gives that option, along with varying the different roof heights or the roof sections, and then a clerestory attachment to the top of the building would meet it. It turns out that does cost quite a bit more. And so I did talk to Mr. Love on the phone and explained to him, this was just, I'm not recommending that he has to make this. I'm just recommending that we have a discussion as a Planning Commission of what you would like to see and what would meet the standard. So he might have some additional ideas and comments, like just to put the cupolas back on. If he wanted to just put cupolas on, I would suggest then if we went with this design, that we did one roof height all the way across, and then the cupola is to break up the 60 feet sections, because I don't think this is helpful, this just 2 foot difference in the middle, and it kind of looks funny. So that's just my opinion. That's very subjective, and it's your subjective opinion that we're looking for tonight as to what the standard should be. So with that, I think I'll turn it back over to the Planning Commission to deliberate and have a conversation with Mr. Love about what he would like to do, because he may have some additional ideas based on my phone call with him.
And can I clarify also, they actually, Mr. Love did pull the building permit for the approved building from November, and then came back after prices went crazy and asked if he could do this version instead. So he does have an outstanding building permit right now with us for what you guys already approved. So just to clarify kind of where he's at in the process.
I'm on the phone. I mean, okay, let's see here. So I don't know if Mr. Love would like to start with anything that you want to add to what Sherry started with before we start the conversation.
Yeah, I didn't hear half the conversation. The internet went out, so I missed the part. I did talk to Sherry. She proposed that it would look better to even get rid of that bump out and just put a couple of cupolas on, which I'm fully happy to do. I love what she proposed on that clear story. It just adds another $10,000 to the building. So I'm sorry I missed what she said. I got back in as soon as I could. I'm in Centerville and the wind's really going nuts here and the internet's going in or out. But so if Sherry's okay with just doing the flat, if it looked better than a cupolas, I would be all for that.
She threw that out as a potential option at the end of what she said. And we all have the language in our staff report on the second page of this agenda item, which lists the relevant sections of the code and identifies the currently, I note, three pieces that do not meet the standard. And so I guess the question at hand is exploring ways to meet those standards. I'm just stating them so that we work through these in that way. That's one way we could do it. But I think the main one that the conversation has been about is the parapet variation every 60 linear feet. And that it sounds like, Sherry, that, you know, a cupola provides that variation.
So if you remember from a few years ago, we were having this issue when the way that the standard is written and talking just about parapet heights, it didn't really fit buildings that have what do we call those? Pointy roofs instead of flat roofs. Sorry, I'm not an architect. I was not an architect. I dropped out of architect and went into planning. Anyway, so we added into the code the ability for these type of roofs to either have a cupola or a clerestory or some other feature that would vary that roof height. And it came about when we were looking at some of these bigger metal buildings that it's really hard to, you know, there's no parapet on it because it's not built that way. It's not a flat roof. So that's why we put those things in as option with the clerestory and the cupolas. There may be other things that could qualify. I'm not aware of anything else, but those two things are things that we put in as options in the code.
Okay. All right. So let's just open it up for discussion. Wondering thoughts on, maybe we'll start with the parapet variation, thoughts on this component that anybody wants to explore. We say at least 2 feet. Go ahead, sorry. I think I cut off somebody that was starting. Okay, I'll just note one thing for starters. 150 feet is a pretty long building. And I'll just note that my concern is even with cupolas, that 150-foot expanse without any significant break in the roof line is pretty monotonous. So do we explicitly say that cupolas provide that variation in the code?
Let me pull that up for you while I'm gonna get it out exactly right. This sheet over here. So roof and parapet variation, that's right in this section. Any facade visible from a public right-of-way, including pedestrian transit and bicycle corridors, shall include a parapet or other roof variations such as clerestories, dormers, gables, cupolas, or other architectural roof projections that vary in height by at least 2 feet for each 60 linear feet of a facade length. And then we've provided diagrams of this, what a clerestory would look like. This is the cupola. These are dormers, kind of an example of how that could change your roof line.
All right, got it, thank you.
This is Commissioner Van Langeveld. I'm not particularly interested in a specific architectural detail, but I am inclined to support maintaining the standard and not making an exception to the standard. Whatever the detail looks like, it's not very important to me, just as a comment.
This is Commissioner Jorgensen. I agree.
So I read that providing the cupolas, which I think it sounded like the applicant was willing to do that, and Sherry mentioned that the cupolas would meet the written standard so long as the cupolas are at least 2 feet tall themselves. And so I think that would, if we're looking for a straight ahead meeting of the standard, which is a reasonable thing to do, of course, in my opinion, then that would do that. Anything else we want to talk about on the parapet variation?
I mean, there's other things that he could do. Like if you were talking about dormers, you could come in here and change this roof line with something like this. That would change the whole feeling of it, just to switch the roof line direction on that portion of the roof so that it was gabled this way. I don't know if that's if that would be something he's interested in. I'm just throwing out the different things that I read that might be available.
Does the applicant have a thought on that?
Well, I like his idea of just doing it flat with a couple of cupolas on there. I think that'd be easier to build, and I think with the color variations would add on there, throw some interest to it.
Barry, can you pull up you're saying in the staff report that the primary building entrance does not meet the standard of the revision. Can you explain how it doesn't?
Just, it says primary entries have to have a roof structure over, you know, the doorway so that you can get shelter from rain or snow while you're unlocking the door, basically. So they had on the other plan, they had these on both doors, and they only had one on one of the two doors. So they just need to add that to the other door.
Okay,
it's been added.
Okay.
Okay, gotcha. So making sure that the treatment on the left entrance is also something as similar to that as on the right entrance as well. Okay. What about the metal siding question? Thoughts on that, Sherry, for starters?
So the metal siding is, that is a good question that we didn't really go over too much because it isn't visible from Main Street necessarily, and it was the rear of the building that's really visible from the freeway. But we do allow metal buildings now. And this is the metal that is going to be used on this is, isn't it red and it's supposed to look like a barn? It looks like the barn siding stuff.
It'll be red, white, and gray.
Which breaks up the colors, right? The white is the doors and gray is the roof.
No, white's the roof, white are the doors, gray on the siding, and then that whole middle section was going to be red. And the cupolas will be red. So it'll give the illusion of it's broken up.
You know, it's supposed to look, it looks more like vertical siding. What do you call that? The lap.
Okay. All right. So what would you like to do, dear commissioners? Shall we, does somebody want to take a stab at a motion? Or is there anything else that we want to talk through? I think that where the conversation has been sitting so far is that the on the parapet variation, a potential motion would support the a flat roof with cupolas that result in the variation. I'm just trying to summarize where
it's not a flat roof. It's just that whole section wouldn't.
I don't mean that the roof is flat, but that it doesn't have any vertical articulation variation in it. That's so, okay. Yeah, you're right. You corrected me correctly. So, I mean, if anybody wants to talk through that, or if you're thinking that, yeah, then let's just
This is Commissioner Jorgensen. It seems, and I was not on the commission at the time, but the prior approval had already addressed the issue of the all metal siding. So I don't necessarily want to revisit that unless somebody can inform me otherwise. And it's like the staff report and some of the conditions that are alluded there do leave the latitude to address the code in terms of the center section of the roof. But we don't necessarily have to come to conclusion in terms of exactly how that's accomplished. So I guess I'd refer back to the staff report, and it seems to me that the three conditions that were potentially contemplated would make sense. So without necessarily offering the motion, I'll just throw that out for commission consideration.
Thanks, Commissioner. So if we wanted to proceed in the general direction that we're aiming, condition number two would need to be varied. That is the key thing. The language of that would have to be varied.
I think I'm ready to make a motion.
Okay, go ahead, Commissioner Ward.
I move that the Planning Commission approve the site plan for Love Carpet Cleaning at 580 North Main Street with the following conditions. One, all previous conditions of approval are in effect. Two, cupolas be added to the building roof sufficient to meet the variation requirements of the standards adopted in the code. And three, an awning is added to the east door similar to the center door.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
A second, Commissioner Van Langeveld.
Thanks, Commissioner. Are there any comments on the motion?
Go ahead.
Please. Go ahead.
Oh, this is Commissioner Moss. I just had a quick question. With the addition of two cupolas, would that meet the minimum requirements? Even though the building is 150 feet, I could be reading this incorrectly, but we would need three instead of two to meet code.
I believe you need three to meet code. And it would provide a better balance too.
I may suggest that.
So I would like to offer an amendment to my motion on condition two, that it be three cupolas be added to the building sufficient.
Okay, thanks.
I second the amendment, Commissioner Van Langeveld.
Okay, thanks, Commissioner B. Sherry, can you just clarify how this building is oriented on the site?
So it is oriented so that it's perpendicular to the freeway. So the long part, the shortest part of the building is adjacent to the freeway.
And where does the small existing structure sit relative to this building? Is this all entirely behind that small building?
It is entirely behind that small building.
Okay, got it. Okay, thank you.
And I just wanted to pop this up on the screen just so you can kind of see. I think maybe we need to rewrite our code a little bit just to give a little more guidance to the size of cupolas and how many. Because this is kind of showing you this is not a good proportion. And these are telling you what are better proportions when you look at putting cupolas on. So I think maybe we need something like this, but this is interesting. And it kind of shows you almost what that building might look like without the garage doors.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Commissioner.
Yeah, this is Commissioner Jorgensen. I just wanted to get verification from before we vote from the applicant that the three cupolas would be acceptable.
Great idea. Does the applicant want to add anything on this or react?
No. Could we put in there, I've got the option of the clerestory versus the three cupolas?
As long as no other roof line was longer than 60 feet. So either the clerestory would need to, extend to so that either side didn't have more than 60 feet.
I did like Sherry's drawing.
Price-wise,
cupolas are, they're $1,200 each.
Yeah, that's great. If the applicant is amenable to that, I like the idea of at least broadening that second condition to allow for a clerestory to meet the requirements in the code. If you're amenable to it, Commissioner Ward.
Yes, in fact, I will offer an amendment to my motion on condition number two, that three cupolas be added to the building sufficient to meet the variation required, or the center section of the building include a roof element such as a clerestory that extends to a length to ensure that no portion of any roof line is greater than 60 feet without height variation.
Okay, we have an amended motion. Is there a second on that?
Second, Commissioner Van Langeveld. I got your back, Bill.
All right, great, thank you. Comments on this revision? Okay, all right, we did some good work there talking that through. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed, please note. Hearing no nays, that motion carries unanimously. So, all right. Good luck to you, Mr. Love. And yeah, I hope everything works out. That'll be a nice addition.
Okay, thank you guys.
You bet.
Appreciate it.
Okay, let's do a report on city council actions on items recommended by the commission.
Okay, so last time at the city council meeting, they approved Eagle Point Estates lot 1020 and 1021, that plat amendment that was combining the two lots. They approved the final plat for RUP PUD, and they approved the final plat for Silver Sky Lofts, as well as for Eaglewood Cove. So it was a busy meeting at their last meeting. What got tabled was the amendment to the Williamsburg item, the general development plan. The council was still concerned over the reduction in the parking ratio from 1.8 parking spaces per unit to 1.7 parking, or no, from 1.94 down to 1.8 parking spaces per unit. And so the developer, he was more than willing to go and hire Ryan Hell's engineering to do a parking study for this project and bring that back to the council. What they're going to do is go through, which I think is going to be very helpful to us as we rewrite our parking. This study is going to help them, because I've asked them to look at like Eaglewood Lofts and to look at other projects that are similar multifamily ones, like I have my whole list here. Let's see, I sent it over to Haley. So let me look, because I'm forgetting the names of the Woods Cross apartments that I was telling her were a good idea. Okay, so North Point, I wanted him to look at in the city, the Eaglewood Lofts down here at 325 South Orchard, to look at the North Point apartments, which is across from the park, Ridgeview Apartments, which is across here from City Hall on Main Street, Hampton Place, which is out on Redwood Road, and then specifically to look at some other ones, the Hills at Renaissance, which is in Woods Cross. It's the very tall buildings that are relatively new on the east side of the road when you come to that kind of diagonal that you take off to go into Bountiful. And then Legacy Crossing in Centerville, those are next to the theater and the park at Legacy Trails Apartment as well. And then Farmington Station. I didn't want them to compare to townhomes, because that has a different demographic. And when somebody owns a townhome, it tends to change how many vehicles they want to own. So we want them to compare apples to apples of the same times. And I was very clear that I also didn't want it to be solely based on national data. We wanted some local examples, and we wanted them to collect some data. So they have a proposal. They're going to go out and count cars overnight. And I also asked them to look at a place, if they could find one that has a small commercial component where they're sharing guest parking and the commercial parking, so that we could really understand what is driving this new demographic and what level of parking is actually needed. Because according to the developer, I mean, he says his project at 39th South and some of his other projects, he's down at like 1.1 parking spaces per unit. And he's saying that they've never had a parking problem when they're on these transit lines. Now, those are on light rail, so I don't know how that compares to BRT, which I think would be interesting, but I'm really excited to see this this parking study to see what the trends are here in Utah. I think that'll be very helpful to us in the future.
Yeah, that's excellent.
And then
can I quickly also comment on that? That is awesome. One thing that I didn't hear you say, and I you looked at, okay, two notes. Note one, you know, if they look at multi-unit projects in South Davis, but some are on frequent transit and others aren't, they need to take that into consideration.
Yes.
That's one. Point two, I actually think that that transit dynamic is pretty well mimicked in the extreme northern part of Salt Lake City. And they might, I would suggest they add one or two products in the northern side of Salt Lake City proper, not just.
I agree. And I told them that too. I just didn't know the names of those ones. So I was
saying,
I knew where these ones were. So that's how I named them specifically, but I'm not familiar with the names of the ones in the northern part of Salt Lake City. But I did tell them that in their study, when they commissioned that with Ryan, that's one of the things that I'd like them to look at is some of these similar ones that are close, but not necessarily in Davis County.
Right on, okay. Good thinking. All right, sorry, you were moving on to the next item. That's great.
I want to just write my transit. Okay, so the other thing that we are working on that we need to work on is in House Bill 409 that I wanted to make the Planning Commission aware of this. One of the things that it requires is that our planning commissioners attend 4 hours of training annually. One of those hours is supposed to be in specific land uses. And then one of those hours that you earn can be from attending 12 planning commission meetings in the year. And then the rest can be obtained either by staff giving you training or by attending the APA conferences. So I just wanted to make you aware of that. We're going to be putting something together to help track that for you, because we're going to have to report it every year to the state. And we're kind of where this becomes effective on May 4th of this year. It counts already. We need to start counting. So, and we're down several months of the year already in training. So we did do the Open and Public Meetings Act training. So that can count as your one of those hours. So we're good there. But we will need to just start tracking those. And so if we do have a training and you don't go, then we'll have to have you go to some other training. There's different online things we can do. We can look at the Luau website that gives the different training videos, and we can show those in the meetings. But if there's something specific that you would like training on, I would be happy to know what those topics are. Like if you're struggling with maybe parking, or you're struggling with understanding, I don't know, some facet of what we do here with the Planning Commission, then we can certainly tailor the training to those desires and needs and suggestions.
Can I ask the commission about interest in being members of American Planning Association?
They are.
All of them are. Okay, shows you what I know. So you're in a position where you're in an all-you-can-eat situation already with regard to training. Now you have to do some training, but there's an all-you-can-eat buffet out there for you, and that includes some stuff that is sitting there online on demand that you can get.
I was kind of thinking that maybe we could do some training at one of our few upcoming meetings, where we could just go over what's out there in training. So we can show you the websites and show you some of the stuff that we would suggest to you and show you where you can explore other things. And then if you track those hours that you do that, then just report them to us and we'll put them in the spreadsheet and it'll be done for the year.
Can I ask you, and you can ask me in turn if you feel like, to send out links to the APA resources, national and local,
yeah,
and probably the league as well.
Yeah, the Luau site too.
Yeah.
So if you haven't heard of the Luau site, it's an acronym for land use. What's the A stand for?
Academy?
Yes, Land Use Academy, Utah.
I don't know.
There's either a Utah in there because there's two. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be in there. I'll tell you what it is when I see it. But are we having a fall conference with the APA this year?
There's going to be a fall conference.
Cool.
Yeah, and it's very likely to be at the University of Utah.
Nice.
And go ahead, Commissioner Tucker.
Well, would a day of that conference count as all of our training?
Yes. So attending one of those things will get your 4 hours for the whole year. You still will have to have the open and public meetings training if you didn't have it at the conference, but we do that every year in January. So we'll just continue to keep doing the open and public meetings training for that way.
I wanted to explain why I said to Sherry, why she could ask me, and by the way, or she could ask Commissioner Larson, is because Commissioner Larson and I both are on the board for the state chapter. So that's why. And I had something else I was going to say about it, but I totally forgot. Sorry about that. Okay, so what's the next?
So the
anything else on this item?
Yeah, so the other thing with House Bill 409 that passed, there's a lot of things that happened this year that we're going to have to do some code updates. So first thing was the Planning Commission training. It has some language in there about development agreements. So we're going to have to update our ordinance about development agreements. And it's specifically telling you that development agreements that are legislative in nature, so they're changing a zone, have to go through the same kind of zone change public hearing. So a development is going to have to require a public hearing if it has a development agreement, which we do already. So we may have to put that public hearing in a different place in the process, but I'm going to have to evaluate that. The next thing that the state legislature did is specifically state, they added the word objective to our conditional use standards. So any standards in our code that we apply to conditional uses have to be objective. What that means entirely, I still have to explore, but we already knew that we wanted to look at our conditional uses and try to eliminate some of those, make them permitted uses or make those categories a little more general, and then specifically prohibit things that we don't want rather than just that's one of the problems with the codes is that a lot of times people think when they were writing them, if we make it conditional, then we can always deny it. So it's kind of like a maybe, but it really isn't. If you put it in there that's a conditional, it's an approved unless you can't put conditions on it that mitigate the side effects of that business or that land use. So that's really on our radar. I know we're not gonna get that part of it done by the time this state code takes effect on May 4th, but we will be working towards that this year. Getting the conditional use fixed. There are some new definitions in our subdivisions and for lot line adjustments. And it really just has to do with definitions of defining what a parcel is and defining a lot, what a lot is. So if somebody has two parcels, so neither parcel has been in a subdivision and they're just two neighbors that want to change that boundary line, then the city can't get involved in that basically anymore. That's their, they don't need a land use authority approval. If even one of those houses, one of those properties has a house on it, then we can get involved and make them do the the regular lot line procedure that we've always been doing. So I don't think that's going to change much in the way we operate. And then it has some definitions of what and how you do lot line adjustments between a parcel and a lot, or a lot and a lot in two subdivisions. Kind of weird changes. I'm not sure why they felt that needed to be changed. And then they specifically stated that land use laws are not subject to the appeal authority. So what this is doing is it is basically saying when we make a zone change, when the city council approves a zone change, that is not a land use decision. That's actually a legislative decision, and legislative decisions are not appealable to our hearing officer because the council is making a policy decision by rezoning it. It's a legislative decision, not an administrative one. So they wanted that to be very clear in the law. And then it's the next thing it changes in there is the infrastructure, does some infrastructure improvements, basically saying that if you're requiring low impact developments, which are the developments that keep the stormwater on site, and then you reroute the stormwater on site to water plants, and you keep that runoff on site rather than putting it into the storm drain system and sending it down the line. If you're going to require a subdivider or a developer to do that, you can't require roads that are wider than 32 feet of asphalt. So if you're wanting them to take care of stormwater runoff on site, you can't make them build super wide roads. So somewhere some city made some developer build a super wide road and also do low impact development. I don't know what city it was, but I suspect that's what happened. So our main, so I've added to our priority lists the amendments that we need to take and get into our code by May, or that come into effect on May 5th. So even though we haven't updated our conditional use standards to say objective in it, or to make sure that all the standards are objective, we still have to comply with it. So if somebody comes forward with a conditional use permit, we can't put subjective conditions on it, which we don't, and we haven't been. We just need to make sure everything that we're doing that is very objective and measurable. We can definitely make a correlation between requiring this fence on a conditional use permit and the specific use that fence would be protecting the neighbors from, for example. And then updating, as I said, the conditional use standards and the development agreement requirements. And then we still have on our list the sign ordinance. And I don't know why parking is not on here. Parking, oops. I can't change it on here because this is the slideshow. But yes, we need to have parking on that list. So I'm going to add that to it. But that is your update.
Thanks, Sherry. Is there a scheduled date for the open house for the form-based code?
There is not. But that's something that we're going to be talking about in the next couple of weeks. We're putting that on our agenda because there's some things that are slowing down. So we're going to get right back on that. And Allie's completed her grant cycle for the most part. So she's got some extra time now that she can start working on this for us. I can get her dedicated to that.
Anything else that we should hit upon before we go to the question of when we want to modify the remote meeting approach?
Can I just open up to you guys what we discussed earlier with parking requirements? Is there anything I can do to make it easier when it's not just specific? Or do you want me to do what I did with the R&R machine, where I found the closest description we had in the uses and then put it with it so you could see what it could be? I want to make sure you guys have what you need to make the most educated decision.
I really appreciated that. And I thought it was very thorough. The reports were fantastic.
I agree.
Okay.
I really liked the way you asked about employees. So that was terrific, the way that was in there. I guess the only suggestion would be if you know, if a use is broken between, if a building, I'm back up. If a business is broken between two parking categories, a la office and industrial, that we ask them the same questions that I asked to two of the applicants tonight. How many of those employees are predominantly office and how many of those employees are predominantly industrial? And that just gives us a little bit more information to make those kinds of parking determinations. And it can be helpful as a data point when we're thinking about our regulations. So it's just a tiny additional step on the good work you already did.
That's awesome. And I could get that, no problem. I spent enough time talking to these folks that'll take 2 seconds. So I'll make sure to do that for you.
Oh, you know what? Can I, and I'll just also say what, how many do they anticipate are going to be teleworking the majority of the time? Because, you know, that may not be a big, that's going to be a changing dynamic, right? So maybe we can keep an eye on the telework piece.
Okay, I'll update my staff report notes so I can make sure to include those for it. Is there anything else that anyone else wants me to put in here? Okay, if you guys-
I appreciate the landscape note every time. Thank you for doing that.
If you guys think of anything else, let me know. I'm here.
Thanks, Mackenzie.
And okay. She's doing a great job. I am thrilled with her.
Thank you. Amen.
Absolutely great. All right, so we have read the, what do we call it? The proclamation, right? And the current proclamation would take us through April. Just looking for a sense from you all. First of all, let me clarify from Sherry, is it our decision as a commission for when we come back from remote, or is that would the council prefer to make that determination?
No, it is your decision. It is your decision. And that's the way it was written in state code, that the chair of whatever board or the, you know, has to read that, and it would be a decision of each individual board. So I think it would be helpful maybe if anybody wanted to share, you know, how they feel with, if we all get vaccinated, how soon can we be together, if that's what everybody wants, or, you know, or if you want to try to do it here in the building and do the socially distancing with masks, we can do that if you want to come back sooner, or we can continue doing it this way. I'm happy to do it however you would like.
Great, thanks. Thoughts?
And I got my first shot last Friday, so I got my first one. I'm happy. Right. I'll tell you that. I'll disclose my, it's not a HIPAA violation if I tell you myself.
So this is Commissioner Jorgensen. I certainly respect the opinions of everybody else, just, you know, my own situation. I'm fully vaccinated. And of course, I'm anxious to have the social interaction with the rest of the commissioners and things like that. So I look forward to that day. Hopefully, from my perspective, that could be sooner rather than later. If we need to do some additional precautions like social distancing and mask wearing, that'd be great too. But anyway, I look forward to it.
Thanks, Commissioner Jorgensen.
I second what Commissioner Jorgensen said. I also am fully vaccinated and look forward to meeting together in person again.
Thanks, Commissioner Larson.
I would say the same thing. I'm vaccinated, ready to meet, but I'm also sympathetic if anyone has hesitation.
I feel the same way. I am not fully vaccinated yet, but I will be before our May meeting if we change for May. I do have a concern. I would like to be around other people that I know are vaccinated, but I'm not sure that's something that we can ask or require. So if we aren't able to ask or require that, do we default to assuming people aren't vaccinated, or can we opt to self-disclose and then choose? I don't know.
Yeah, right. I will disclose I am fully vaccinated, but only by Saturday. So I had my second dose on Saturday.
Nice.
Commissioner Tucker, any thoughts on timing?
I'm ready whenever you want.
Moss, any predisposition or thoughts on this?
No, I echo the same sentiments. I'm also fully vaccinated, so whenever I'm ready, whenever.
I am so happy. I am so happy to see so many people I know getting fully vaccinated. I love it.
I know, but Sherry, all of them are like way ahead of us.
I don't care. It just makes me so happy that it's available and that, you know, because at first when it was first coming out, you didn't know anybody who had gotten a vaccination. And now to have so many of our planning commissioners have be fully vaccinated, I'm thrilled.
So Sherry, I know, and I don't know if you guys know this, but we have all this fancy software we got for council to be able to meet in person here. So we've got these new microphones and the capabilities to stream it on Facebook.
And we still have the ability when we're doing council for people to attend and view online if they don't feel comfortable coming in person.
Yes. Yes. So we could
go that route.
Okay. And are they still wearing their masks during council, or is it because we separate them? Because I know we set
still
up
the- they still wear them. And then they take them off when they're talking into the microphone because it's so muffled. You can't understand them with the mask on.
And we have it set up already for them that it's like, each person, there's two to a table of one of those long ones. And so
we'd have to do some adjustment because there's seven of you guys and it's only six of the council. And
yeah, so. But we do have the capabilities, what I'm trying to say. So carry on.
Well, that's great. That answers something that I was thinking, which is it's not just the commission and staff, but also the applicants that we have coming. And I guess if they have the ability, if we give them the ability and let them know that they are welcome to participate without physically attending, then I think it helps us come back earlier if we choose to do so.
That's how it's working out at the council. So like at their last council meeting, I had one applicant that showed up in person and the rest all appeared virtually through the Zoom call part of the meeting.
Do you want to shout? I'll just do a starter. The first meeting in May, which would be what is that?
May 11th.
May 11th as our first day back. Any thoughts on if that is too late or too early or just right?
I have a question about that. So do we set parameters? Like if someone from the public comes to the meeting, are they required to wear masks? Do we say nobody's required to wear masks? Is that even in our purview?
Everyone right now under the city council's guidelines is and policy is that if you enter this building, you have to wear a mask.
Is that set to expire at any point?
Not. I think what they said is that the city manager and mayor would like us to go to the same length that the state employees are going to, which is, I believe, the end of May. But could be reevaluated if we have a spike or something. Hopefully it won't be, we shouldn't have spikes as we're going and getting more and more people vaccinated, so.
I would be fine for May.
Yeah, it's a great question, Commissioner V. I would feel uncertain about things if we didn't have a standard for mask wearing. If people came, you know, I mean, there is still risk, you know, there's variants out there, et cetera. So it's good for us to just take basic precaution together. So great question. Okay. Should we just do a straw poll? And we don't even need a motion on this, I don't think, but, well, let's just do, if you feel like you want to push for a later time than May 11, just, you know, say something or do a reaction with your little reaction tab. Okay, so am I hearing or not hearing? I could have done that more artfully. Or am I not hearing that, and therefore May 11th works? Give me the thumbs up. Okay.
The most interesting thing about that is on May 11th is when I get my second dose.
You know, Sherry, would you, we could wait until the following meeting and accommodate
I'm okay. you. No, I'm okay. I'm pretty sure I had it like 14 months ago. I'm pretty sure I had it way before anybody else had it and knew what it was, because I was dealing with a woman right before Christmas over the counter for like about 30 minutes. And she had just gotten, because she has a code violation, she had just gotten back from China from taking care of her sick mother for 3 months. And then the day after Christmas, we went on Christmas break, and then the day after Christmas, I went on a trip, and I was sick the entire time with everything that my husband thought I had pneumonia, and took me to the doctor to be, and they're just like, no, there's just some weird virus that's going around. We don't know what it is, but it's just some virus. And then everything blew up after that. So I'm pretty sure I already had it. And my daughter got it, and we stayed in the house together and did not social distance. And I did not get it when she had it either. So I think I already had it. So I feel safe.
Okay.
Also, we're here anyways.
Yeah, we're here anyways.
It doesn't affect us.
We're here every day, and we wear our masks when we leave our offices. If you're in any of the common areas, everybody wears their masks. Or if somebody comes into your office to visit with you, everybody has masks on. So we're very, very used to it here at City Hall.
Okay. So I'm okay to proceed without a motion. If any of you recommend for any reason, hey, Ted, you know, go ahead and take a motion, then we can do that.
I have a question. I'm sorry if I missed this before, but were you saying that we could maintain the option to Zoom in even if we are meeting?
Yes.
In person? Okay, great. Yeah, I think I'm ready. I'm voting yes.
And we've been doing it with the council too. So Councilwoman Baskin has at least at two meetings had to Zoom in from her office and couldn't attend in person. And, you know, we had some bugs to work out there at the beginning. And I think we've got it worked out. If we hadn't got the bugs worked out at the last meeting, then I would say, let's hold off. But now I think we've got this system down. We know how to start everything, in which order. We've written a list of everything that we need to do to make it work so that it shows on, you know, so people can zoom in and watch. And I don't think we're ever going to stop doing that. I think that's going to, based on what I've heard from the mayor and city council and city manager, is that they want to continue to have this resource available to people who can't come to the meetings, regardless of there being a pandemic, and maybe get more participation that way. I don't think we've seen more participation. I think we've seen less, but.
I think it's good for applicants too, you know?
Yeah.
So that's
good for air quality.
Yeah, right on.
Does that open it up for applicants to come to the meeting and peanut gallery like me?
Yeah, absolutely. You can come to that meeting, yeah. You just have to wear a mask.
I already heard it from you all, but I'll just second that we have better meetings when we're together. You know, the chair does less talking. I think we deliberate a little bit more. We can look at each other, you know. It's good. So I look forward to it too. All right, our last item is the report as the approval of minutes for March 23rd, 2021. Are there any changes to the draft minutes?
There was one typographical correction, page 7, line 265. There's an extra digit on the date. Whoever does this does an excellent job, though, but just one small.
That is Andrea, and she does do an excellent job.
Thank you.
Thanks, Commissioner Jorgensen, for the careful reading. Anything else? I'd take a motion.
I will move that the Planning Commission approve the minutes of for March 23rd, 2021 meeting.
Thanks, Commissioner Ward. Is there a second?
Second. Commissioner Van Langeveld, always behind Bill.
All right. All in favor say aye.
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 All right, that is it. So we'll see you all in 2 weeks as our last purely remote meeting. So there's light at the end of the tunnel, and it's hopefully not another locomotive.
Good job, everybody.
We'll get back to Taco Tuesdays.
Taco Tuesdays, yeah.
Yeah, right on. Talk to you later.
All right, good night.
Thanks. Good night.
Thank you.